And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. Steve Vaughn, board member for Generations, also with me today, homeschool father of six. And today we're coming back to culture. I have an interest in culture, largely because I was involved as a radio disc jockey back in the 1980s, had a lot of involvement in radio, whether it be country music, adult contemporary, Christian contemporary, and news format. I did a lot of that in the 1980s and continued on into the 1990s a bit. And so I still have an interest somewhat in popular culture, but also because I think it is helpful to understand the times. And culture plays a huge part. Pop culture plays a huge part in almost every single family in America, unless you're Amish. And so, you know, people are paying attention to what's going on in pop culture. People speak, people act, people have attitudes that reflect what is going on with the pop culture leaders of the day. And so it's important for us as Christians to be discerning and to understand the time so that we will know what to do. And I think trends help us. As we look at trends, at least we understand something of a thermometer, a temperature for the water as the frogs are slowly boiling over a period of 30 to 40 years. Indeed, we have reached roughly 211.95 degrees Fahrenheit at this point, which, as you know, would be roughly the boiling point.
Yeah. Culture is a good measurement of what's going on with the rest of the world. You take a look at the culture and see, you do pick up the thermometer on that. You test the temperature of how the world is doing, especially in terms of how people live biblically and how they're supposed to live. And that temperature is pretty hot, just as you said, Kevin.
Yeah, and the 2021 Grammys just happened this weekend. I believe it was on Sunday. And the 2021 Grammys could indicate something of the cultural trends of the day, and we want to follow that on this edition of the program. I missed them. The 2021 Grammys. I missed it again.
Yeah, I didn't take any time to watch that either.
Yeah. But I think, again, this is informative, and here's a big reason. A lot of Christian kids are still chasing the world over the line of despair. Now, I'm not sure still what there is to love about the world of decadence, despair, and suicide, which is precisely where the popular culture has gone. I'm not sure there's anything left to chase, but a lot of Christian kids seem to like to chase the world over the line of despair. And it's a crazy thing, but you see this with kids raised in Christian homes. And so I think it's important from time to time to remind everybody that there's not a whole lot to see. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back. There wasn't really that much to see at that point, Steve. You know, a lot of smoke, but not much to see. But she seemed to want to look back at the smoke. I'm not sure what it was that attracted her, but something about Sodom and Gomorrah seemed to attract Lot's wife.
Yeah, I think that was that was sort of her culture. She longed for that type of a lifestyle, and that was what I think. There was a longing in her heart to be back there, and so she essentially died with the rest of them.
Yeah, she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, we're called to be salt. It's interesting. We're called to be salt, and yet Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back at the world, and so there's something of a destructive thing that happened there in her life almost instantaneously. And that's what's going on right now with so much of the apostasy and so much of the post-Christian world, as generation after generation, kids raised in Christian homes chase the world and then they go over the cliff. But one more shift has happened in the 2021 Grammys, which I think is instructive. In the past, in the 1990s, you had guys like Eminem and others that were, you know, foul-mouthed. And a lot of these guys were the most degrading voices. And when I say degrading voices, I mean they were self-destructive, suicidal. They were destructive to an entire civilization and culture. They were destructive to the American culture, the Western culture. And they would use language, purposefully destructive language, to destroy culture. But it was mainly the men that were doing that sort of thing. But now this is all shifted to women, the most degrading voices, the most debasing voices. The voices that debase themselves and debase an entire civilization are now women, almost exclusively women, at least those that receive the awards at the Grammy celebration. Now, this is important. I'll tell you why this is important, because women are usually the last holdout. They're the last vanguard to preserve culture. They tend to be conservative. Believe it or not, women tend to be those who have more of an intuition to protect or to preserve a culture. Men are tend to be more destructive at the end of a civilization. But now women become the means of destroying culture. And when that happens, you know there's nothing left of that culture. It is over. Western civilization is over, my friends. And 2021 Grammys are an excellent demonstration of a destroyed culture. And, of course, I deal with this in my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. That is available for purchase now at generations.org. So this is the end. This is a remarkable time in the history of the world. This is the end of a civilization. This is bigger than the fall of Rome. This is the biggest destruction of a civilization in the history of the world, and that's why it is so interesting, and that's why it's important for us to comment on it from time to time. Western civilization is dead. Women won all the night's major awards on Sunday night at the Grammys. In 1980, by the way, the major awards were taken home by men, exclusively men, in 1980. So men won the night's major awards at the 1980 Grammys. In 2000, the ratio was roughly 18 men to 6 women. And then in 2021, all of the big awards went to women in 2021. Megan Thee Stallion, have no idea where that name came from. This woman received one of the major awards. She received the, I believe it was the Newcomer Award and a few others. Megan Thee Stallion, she performed, if you can call it that, at the 2020 Grammys on Sunday night. And it's basically pornography. Basically, whatever she was doing was porn. And the lyrics are X-rated lyrics. And the best way I can explain the lyrics, and again, I encourage people not to even spend 0.2 seconds watching, reading any of this. But the lyrics of these songs, if you can call them songs, the lyrics of the songs receiving the highest awards in American culture today are basically what you get on junk emails if you've ever gone to your junk file. See, if you ever gone to your junk file, and I mean, for, you know, 0.2 seconds, you're like, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
you know,
mostly
go take a shower.
Yeah, mostly just to delete them. But yeah, I mean, You take a look at any of the headlines, anything like that. You don't click on anything, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. And same thing for what's going on with these pop tunes. Wow, basically porn. It's basically the X-rated stuff that shows up in your junk email. These are the lyrics that make for the biggest songs of the nation in popular culture today. Parents Television Council President Tim Winter limped up to explain it once more, criticizing the performance of Megan Thee Stallion on Sunday night as, quote, entirely unfit for primetime network television broadcast. Artists have every right to confound empowerment with debasement and sexiness with debauchery. But a broadcast television network carries a higher standard, especially during the times when children are likely to be in the audience. Shame on CBS. That's the comment from Tim Winter, Parents Television Council president. Evidently, you know, all debasement, debauchery, it's all that. He says artists have a right to do that. They could do it, you know, in their basement if they want, but don't do it on primetime television. That's this guy's perspective. Christians were horrified when Katy Perry did her Dark Horse and all the mock homosexual weddings were conducted at the 2014 Grammys. That was, what, 7 years ago. Christians were horrified when Katy Perry was doing her Dark Horse thing, but the lyrics were, you know, pretty light in comparison with the 2021 Grammys. All the X-rated stuff. I mean, every third word is some kind of bodily function, bodily organ. It's just, you know, sewer language is effectively what you get in modern lyrics. Wow, what a trend. What a trend. We've come a long way from Johnny Horton's Battle of New Orleans Song of the Year in 1960. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Attention homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on this Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here as we trend Western civilizations and chronicle the breakdown of an entire culture, entire civilization coming down now. And so I think it's important for us to take a peek at the trend. I remember as a kid, my dad had a number of songs that he allowed us to listen to, recorded music. He had like three cassettes. Remember cassettes? I don't know if you remember back that far. But
I remember eight tracks.
In the 1970s, my dad had made three cassettes for us, which we sort of wore out. We didn't have much music available to us out in Japan, Kyushu, where we lived. Well, my dad was serving as a missionary in the 1970s. But one of the songs was Johnny Horton's Battle of New Orleans. And in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi and took a little bacon, took a little beans. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not even sure you can say Colonel Jackson's name anymore. I think that's off the table.
Yeah, all the statues have been torn down.
Yeah,
I think,
statues
so you
are
can't
gone.
Say his name
yeah,
anymore.
Can't
yeah.
talk about yeah. Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi anymore. But that was Song of the Year for the Grammys in 1960, if you can believe it. You know, so we've come a long yeah. way from Johnny Horton's in 1814. We took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi, all the way down to whatever this X-rate trash is being cranked out by whoever this is who wins the Grammys in the 2021 celebration. But let's just go through the song of the year for 1964. Was Days of Wine and Roses.
Yeah, Henry Mancini.
Henry Mancini, exactly. And somewhat of a love yeah. song. I think it was a love song. I think it was, you know, a fairly harmless love song, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I remember listening to it. That was one of the eight tracks we used to listen to.
Okay.
Was Henry Mancini.
1971 Song of the Year for the Grammys, Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, just visited the lyrics again. It's a little hard to tell sometimes. You get the poetic thing going. But I would say this is a song about friendship. I'll be your friend. You know, I realize you're going through trials right now, but you can count on me. I'll be your friend as you... I'll be your bridge over troubled waters
yeah.
as you are dealing with these trials in your life. You know, not exactly the X-rated lyrics of the 2021 Grammys. You know, yeah. we're not quite there yet. You follow me here?
Yeah, friendship was kind of a thing in the 70s because the next year yeah. was You've Got a Friend. Winter, spring, summer, fall, all you got to do is call.
That
I'll
was.
Be there. Yes,
that
I will. You've got a friend.
Trying to remember. Yeah, that's right.
James Taylor.
Yeah. All right, so friendship. Yeah. yeah, not exactly the X-rated lyrics of the 2021 Grammys. You know, we've come a bit down the track since we're pretty much in the sewer at this point.
Yeah.
In 1973, the first time I ever saw your face, that was Roberta Flack. And then yeah. 1978, You Light Up My Life, Debbie Boone, Song of the Year 1978, You Light Up My Life, most popular song of the 1970s, of the decade, it was Debbie Boone's You Light Up My Life. Now, there was one lyric that was highly questionable to any Christian mind listening to popular music in the 1970s. Now, again, not the foul language, the vile language used in the for the lyrics of the 2021 Grammy Awards today, somewhat 44 years later. How can it be wrong if it feels so right? You remember that lyric that came out of You Light Up My Life in 1978? Now, the songwriter Joe Brooks committed suicide after reportedly molesting and raping 81 women. I guess he was trying to prove his point, the point he made in the song. How can it be wrong if it feels so right? Evidently, the American Jurisprudence Institution didn't agree with the lyric. He was trying to prove the point, though. Joe Brooks kind of had this autonomous, you know, romantic, wildly anti-morality perspective that he could do whatever he wanted to do if it felt right. And that, of course, became the ruling lyric of the American culture for the next 30 to 40 years. It certainly was the lyric of the sexual revolution. How can it be wrong if it feels so right? So that was 1978. So with Debbie Boone's You Light Up My Life, we begin to see something of a autonomous libertine approach to life show up in popular culture. That's 1978. In 1983, Song of the Year was Willie Nelson's Always On My Mind. And there he's admitting himself to be something of a jerk in this relationship with this woman and trying to reconstruct the relationship. Always On My Mind. In 1987, That's What Friends Are For. So we're back to the friendship theme. And that was Dionne Warwick. She came out with That's What Friends Are For. 1993, Song of the Year, Unforgettable, with Natalie Cole. A fairly nice song. I think she did that with her father, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was an overdub of, because her father had died, and so it was his old recording, and she sang sort of a duet with him posthumously.
Yeah, yeah. Move on to 1997, Song of the Year, Change the World, Eric Clapton. 2006, Song of the Year was U2's Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own, and you still had something of a Christian influence in the band U2. You remember the band U2? They still had something of a Christian influence. Yeah. I wouldn't say they had given themselves up to complete decadence and despair. They had not stepped over the line of despair entirely in 2006. But by the time you get to 2008, it's Amy Winehouse and Rehab is the song of the year. She's crazy, and she's willing to admit to that. She committed suicide, and there you step over the line of despair. So if you're putting a year on the American culture, American popular culture, the hoi polloi, stepping over the line of despair, it would have been in 2008. And so here we are, over the line of despair. By 2020, green-haired Billie Eilish is singing Bad Guy, and basically this poor creature, whoever this pop singer is, she's got green hair. She's glorifying suicide, as in jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Self-mutilation. Lucifer shows up in her music, and cannibalism. These are the values of a post-Christian culture that has stepped over the line of despair. And in 2021, Eilish's album, Everything I Wanted, gets Album of the Year. She's basically the picture of the depression, the despair, the hopelessness, the suicidal tendencies, and the destruction of modern culture. So she is the very picture of it. She is the idealization of the destruction of a culture. By the way, she was homeschooled. And so lesson learned, homeschooling doesn't save anybody. Only Christ can save you. Only Christ can save you. Homeschooling doesn't save anybody.
Amen.
So here we are, Western culture dead and buried. And nobody really cares all that much anymore. Steve, only 5% of America showed up to watch the X-rated Grammy porn show last Sunday. And that's about the size of the homeschooling movement in America. So, you know, that's a very small slice of America. It's a 9% drop on viewership from the 2020 Grammys, another 9% drop. And by the way, the Golden Globe Awards on NBC last month saw a 60% ratings drop from the previous year. So nobody's really showing up to watch the death of a culture these days. It's just boring. Well,
yeah.
Before we're done with this program, Steve, I want to visit the ACM Awards, American Country Music Awards. And, you know, some people might be saying, well, yeah, but country music's doing great. Actually, it's not.
I can only imagine.
Actually, yeah. It's not. Country music has always been a little bit of a pop wannabe and increasingly embracing leftist agendas. That's what you're seeing with country music now. Country music is hard left Democrat today. That's country music today. Country music has abandoned the heartland, if there ever was one. Charlie Daniels died last year, a professing Christian. And, you know, I followed his blog to the end. I followed Charlie Daniels' blog to the end. And there he was, hoping to save America from the leftists and the communists all the way to the end. You know, Charlie Daniels tried to, you know, hoping that somehow something might salvage America. But he went to be with Christ in last year in 2020, and I believe he did have a true profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question in my mind about that. He might have had some rocky years earlier on, but Charlie Daniels had a strong profession of faith in Christ to the end. Also, Merle Haggard died in 2016. I watched his funeral on Sermon Audio a few months ago. Somebody put on Sermon Audio, so you know, that's interesting. Merle Haggard's funeral. And he ended his career singing gospel songs and had a number of gospel albums toward the end. So this was the older country music. Country music still had something of a heart for Christ off and on throughout. Now, there's a tension. I think country music was an excellent example of the American apostasy over the last 50 years. But Merle Haggard had his regrets about what was going on with the country. Remember his lyrics, "I wish a buck was still silver, back when the country was strong, back before Elvis, before the Vietnam War came along, for the Beatles and Yesterday, when a man could still work, still would, the best of the free life behind us now, and are the good times really over for good, or are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell with no kind of chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell? Wish a Ford and a Chevy could still last 10 years like they should. Is the best of the free life behind us now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Before a microwave oven, when a girl could still cook, still would." I think you'd go to prison for writing something like that today. You know?
Microwave
ovens. When a girl could still cook, still would. Yeah, right. The best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? So, well, my friends, probably for the American macroculture and the American heartland, the good times are over for the American heartland, but not so much for the kingdom of God and the Church of Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind, that the kingdom of God moves on. Empires come and go. Empires have risen up and crashed down, and yet Jesus still continues to build his church, and the gates of hell, they will not prevail against it. Now, the new American Country Music Award champions are not Merle Haggard and Charlie Daniels anymore. No. It's Miranda Lambert, Maren Morris. They're pro-LGBT or pro-Black Lives Matter. That's who they are, okay? Chris Stapleton, taking home most of the awards these days, maybe a good many of the awards these days. Chris Stapleton also joined the Black Lives Matter protest about 3-4 months ago. Mike Huckabee, you know, was abruptly kicked off the Country Music Association's charitable board just 24 hours after his appointment. This would have been about 2 years ago, indicating that Nashville's cultural revolution was in full swing by 2019. So Mike Huckabee did not survive in the ACM. You know, there's no way. No way. Why? Because Miranda Lambert, Maren Morris, and Chris Stapleton, I mean, these guys are leading the pack now. Initially, it was Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, Casey Musgraves, Carrie Underwood, and Garth Brooks, Martina McBride, Dixie Chicks, pushing hard to homosexualize America. These were the guys. Garth Brooks was at the front of it. But coming behind Garth Brooks, Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, Martina McBride, Dixie Chicks, and Casey Musgraves, man, they worked hard to homosexualize America, especially the heartland of what used to be a Christian country, or a country at least influenced by Christian morality. It took a lot of work, but these were the guys that brought America down. These are the guys that brought country music down. The heartland of America is pretty much rotted out. The heart of America is rotted out by now. And the leading artists are leftists. They're leftists. They're pro Black Lives Matter, pro homosexual, anti Trump, anti conservative, anti Christian. This is who they are. Miranda Lambert, the winningest artist in ACM history, she's pro LGBT. She came out just, what, a year or two ago with her pro LGBT line. And Maren Morris, she's been the pro Black Lives Matter thing. She came out with a song called Better Than We Found It. It's a protest song supporting Black Lives Matter. So she's at the front of Black Lives Matter. Chris Stapleton came out 2 months ago supporting Black Lives Matter, quote unquote, unequivocally. Now, Chris Stapleton is also very much the Christian apostate. Self-consciously so. High octane, 100% self-conscious apostasy in some of his recent music. Now, if you analyze his lyrics, it's appropriate to analyze lyrics from time to time. And we do that on this cultural critique that we do on the Generations broadcast. Mama always set a good example. Daddy always gave me good advice. Jesus tried to steer me in the right direction, but the devil always made me think twice. Devil always made me think. Someday I'm going to be 6 feet under. And when they got me standing at the gate, they'll tally up my sins and won't let me in. Say, son, you're just a little too late. Son, you're just a little too late. Devil always made me think twice. Devil always made me think twice. There is probably the most epistemologically self-conscious apostasy, turning away from Jesus and selling a soul to the devil, of anything we've ever seen in country music. I mean, this is way beyond Sunday Morning Coming Down, my friends. This is way beyond Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. Yeah, there he was, sitting there soaking in Margaritaville because it was his own D-A-M-E-N-E-D fault, and basically condemning himself to hell. And Roger Miller, of course, getting drunk and spending the family's money in bars, but quote-unquote, dang me, they ought to take a rope and hang me. Now, we've had this realism in country music before. This man in the iron cage. We think of John Bunyan's Man in the Iron Cage in Pilgrim's Progress. This is what we find with Roger Miller, Jimmy Buffett, and Chris Stapleton. This is what we find, but increasingly epistemologically self-conscious. That's what's interesting about the development in country music. The winningest country star on the male side of the picture in country music is Chris Stapleton today. And man, he is convinced he's going to hell. He is convinced he is going to hell. And that's why people buy his music. They have communion with this kind of realism. They relate to this kind of realism. This is the scary thing, is that this is the guy whom Americans among the heartland are going to follow, because America is in apostasy big time today, and it's gone into metastasis at this point. These are the men in the iron cage. They've lost all hope of redemption. It's hopelessness. And the Christian, of course, doesn't want to have fellowship with that. The question I want to leave you with now is this. You know, you listen to the kind of music that you relate to, and that's why people buy this stuff. They relate to it. They like the autonomy of it. They like the homosexuality of it. They like the ability to do whatever they want to do sexually. They want the apostasy. They embrace the apostasy of the man who says, the devil made me think twice. They embrace the apostasy of Roger Miller. They embrace the apostasy of Sunday Morning Coming Down. This is where America is. This is where a post-Christian apostate nation finds themselves. And that's why the heartland is buying this stuff. Now, where's your fellowship? Where are you having your communion? What do you identify with? What do you relate to? Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, man, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, which is what we're doing on this broadcast. Don't have fellowship with Chris Stapleton, as that man in the iron cage is sitting there. The pilgrim in the house of the interpreter, he moved on quickly. Didn't want to spend any time, but what happens with people who enjoy this music, they climb into the cage with the man in the iron cage, and they begin to have extended fellowship with those who have turned away from the true and living God. They've turned away from faith, and now they are satisfied to remain in that horrible condition. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's embrace the communion of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's embrace the communion of relationship with God and with His Son Jesus Christ. Let's confess our sins one to another, embrace the communion of the saints in church. Let's sing these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs together in our families, in our churches, and find our greatest delight in singing the praises of God and experiencing that wonderful sense of thanksgiving with our families and with our church congregations. Friends, let's enjoy the communion of the Holy Spirit, and let's walk away from the communion of a world that is walking away from God. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I'd encourage you to my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. If you'd like more on cultural analysis, I deal with the man in the iron cage, I deal with music, I deal with movies, I deal with just about every aspect of modern pop culture in my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.